Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's episode, I'm joined by Tyler Watts. Tyler and I are going to discuss Rudy Gobert's injury, Chris Paul's injury, Jahlil Okafor's suspension, and much more. Tyler, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Mark?
Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. Before we get into all that good fantasy stuff, I want to hear your take on the epic 76ers-Lakers matchup.
Well, it started out and you thought Kobe was just going to go nuts. All right. He was playing in front of his hometown team. He made those three-pointers like right off the bat. And I honestly thought to myself, like, all right, he's got one last good game in him. And he's just going to get it right now. He's just going to go nuts and that's going to be it. And I thought maybe he'd just be like, I'm done. Like just, that was it. Yeah. Swan song. And then the legs got a little heavy, a little fast for him. And he didn't stop shooting, but they stopped going in.
It seems like in pickup ball, like there's always that one guy that, you know, if he makes two shots, he's just going to shoot the rest of the time. So like if he's on your team, you're happy that you get the points, but you are almost like shaking your head because you know that that guy's just going to keep shooting and shooting and shooting and they're probably not going to go in. And that's what I felt like was happening with the Lakers.
I got a theory of what they're doing though now.
Okay, let's hear it.
Byron Scott has just gone to him and like, dude, just shoot. Just shoot every time because he knows if Kobe keeps shooting, they're going to keep losing and then they're going to get their pick.
Do you really think Byron Scott cares about the pick? Like I'm trying to understand what makes that guy tick because
I think he cares.
He's just illogical
because I think they've probably told him if you guys win too much, you're fired.
I don't understand what he's doing with D'Angelo Russell. And I'm worried that he's going to ruin his career.
Oh, there's a good possibility of that.
Like, I think D'Angelo Russell is not the bust that everybody thinks he is, but I am worried that Scott will turn him into a bust. Like the whole thing where he doesn't play him yet because he hasn't earned the playing time in the fourth quarter, but then he doesn't play him if the fourth quarter is a blowout because he says, what's the point?
I've heard some just little rumblings that he's going to be fired either way after the year, that they want to try to get somebody since Kobe's retiring and they basically know that they're not going to be like good. I've heard that they basically want to try to get someone who can like is better at developing players. I mean, they think
they coach basketball,
right? They think they have Clarkson, a Russell, Randall, obviously guys who could get better and actually be good players eventually. And they just don't think he's developing them, which I mean, I think I can see that. I'm not a player development man.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm glad the Lakers are finally figuring out that Scott isn't a great coach. Well, good luck keeping your pick from the Sixers. I guess that's what the season's come to at this point.
It's looking like that, although we did beat Washington tonight.
That's what I'm saying. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It was a mind-boggling thing. How does Washington dominate Cleveland last night? The Lakers lose to Philadelphia, and then the Lakers win that game.
Yeah, you tell me. I didn't watch any of that game.
And, like, it just didn't make any sense to me. Now, Kobe did kind of have a magical run down the stretch where he made a few baskets right there at the end when they needed him to win. So maybe this was his game where he finally had the good game, 31 points, 36 minutes, and maybe that was the swan song tonight. I'm not sure.
Holy cow, he scored 31 points?
Oh, yeah, he played actually pretty well tonight. He made four of 11 three-pointers. He shot the ball 24 times.
That's got to be the first game this season where he's scored more points than the amount of shots he's taken.
That, I believe, is the case.
Wow. Well, good for him. Maybe this will be it for him. Maybe by the time you listen to this podcast, he'll have announced his retirement.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
All right, well, let's get into the big news of the day. We might circle back to the Lakers, but I think the most important news of the day that you need to know about is that Rudy Gobert is out indefinitely. Apparently, there was some sort of incident in practice where he hurt his left knee. They did an MRI, and it turns out he has an MCL sprain. No surgery is required, which is the good news. He's out indefinitely, which can mean a lot of things. You know, I think that could mean as little as a week, and that could mean as much or as long as a month or two. Tyler, what's your take on this situation? What do you think we need to be aware of?
Well, I mean, are you picking up Trevor Booker? I guess that's my first question.
Yeah, I guess the first question is, what do you do with Gobert? I've had people ask me if I'm okay with them dropping him. I would say don't drop him until you know for sure what the timetable is. I suppose there's a timetable out there that could be bad enough, like if he was out 2 or 3 months, that you could drop him. But I would think, you know, don't do anything rash until you hear how long he's out. It could be just a couple of games, and definitely they didn't give a minimum. So it could be just a couple of games. He could be back real soon, and there's no surgery. So don't do anything drastic there. I think you're probably right. I think Trevor Booker gets some additional playing time. I think Trey Lyles probably gets some additional playing time as maybe like the starter that doesn't play a ton of minutes. So how do you feel about Trevor Booker? Like if he was getting, I don't know, 26 to 28 minutes a night, is he somebody you'd be interested in?
I mean, obviously depending on the league. I mean, in a 10-team league, I think you maybe stream him. He got that 38 minutes against the Pelicans, and he had 13 points, 15 rebounds, 3 blocks, 3 assists, and 2 steals, which was a pretty awesome game. So, I mean, I think if he gets the minutes, he normally is at least good for the points and the rebounds.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I wonder also if they'll do a little bit of small ball, like if they'll run Gordon Hayward at the 4 and use that as an opportunity to get Burke, and Hood on the court.
That would be a really small lineup, but I could see that happening.
I think the big winner here is probably Derek Favors. Derek Favors, I think he had a monster game without Gobert last time Gobert sat out. I think, you know, if there's some way to take advantage of him in the short term, whether that's daily fantasy or no halftime or, you know.
I think the block numbers are going to tick up, you know, and he's already been playing pretty awesome. I mean, he's averaging, about 20 points a game, I think. And when Gobert is out, he seems to kind of play that in the paint role with where he blocks a lot of shots. We're like rim protector. So I would think that it's definitely a boost.
Yeah, totally. I think, let's see, I'm trying to look up which game. I can't find it, which game he played without Gobert already, but I would expect some big stats from him over the time that Gobert is out. I think we're going to see some big lines from him. So again, if you can take advantage of that in the short term, I don't know that in a season long league you necessarily do that. Like he's definitely owned, and I don't think you want to trade for him until you know that Gobert is out for a long time. Hopefully he isn't, but like I said, in short term, if you can take advantage of him in daily or, you know, a no halftime challenge.
You want to know the stats?
Yeah.
Gobert missed 2 games. They were on the 11th of November, or on the 12th of November against Miami, and on the 13th against Orlando. And in those 2 games, in 1 game, Derek Favors was pretty awesome. He had 25 and 12 with 7 blocks, 3 steals, and 2 assists. And then the next night, they got crushed by Orlando, and he only played 19 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – thanks for looking that up. That was the Miami game that I was thinking of with the 7 blocks and the 25 points.
So, yeah, he did. He did go crazy in that game. So let's hope he can get some more of those.
Yeah. The other big news of the night is Chris Paul is still dealing with a rib injury. He's out a minimum of 2 more games. He set out on Wednesday night. So it'll be a couple games before he comes back. What do you think of there? Do you think there's anybody that sort of picks up or gains from Chris Paul being out?
Well, normally JJ Redick gets a few more shots, but he got hurt tonight, right? So,
he twisted his ankle in the first 10 seconds of the game and left and didn't return. No word yet on how long he'll be out, but he was able to shoot the free throws after his ankle injury. He was able to walk off the court and into the locker room on his own power. So hopefully that he's not out super long either.
I feel like they're just gonna. I mean, they're gonna give them minutes to Rivers and Jamal Crawford, and I mean Rivers never really produces the stats for fantasy, and Jamal Crawford, I mean, if you want someone who might score on a lot of shots, a low field goal percentage.
Lance Stevenson is the other guy that got a lot of minutes. He's had several DNP coach decisions this year. He played 29 minutes, 28 minutes. He scored 19 points, had three rebounds, three assists, one steal, three three-pointers. So pretty solid game from Lance. I don't know. He definitely looked like he was trying to take it to the Pacers. So I don't know if this is something that we could definitely count on going forward. He's had a little bit of uptick in minutes recently with the Chris Paul injury. But, you know, this is the first time we've seen him actually go out and score enough points that you feel like you'd want him to be on your team. The assists aren't there yet, which is, I think, really what you're hoping for from Lance. He doesn't get a ton of steals. He doesn't get a ton of blocks. He rarely shoots this many three-pointers. So if he seems like the logical person to step in and play point guard for him, but until he takes on that role, I don't think I'd want to pick him up.
I kind of agree there. I think he could just be gelling a little bit too with the team. You know, I mean, new situation, obviously, for the second straight year for Lance. I think that he could see an uptick in the minutes. And, I mean, he was really good that last year with the Pacers, right?
Yeah, he was. Although from a fantasy perspective, not so much. I mean, really, the defensive stats and the three-pointers weren't there. And so if you think about a guard who doesn't get a lot of three-pointers and doesn't get a lot of steals or blocks,
right,
and doesn't score, you know, he's not scoring in the mid-20s. Even if the rebounds and assists are usable and helpful, there's not a lot of value there. So he is pretty capped on what he can give you, even in the best case scenario. And I don't think we've reached that in Clipperland. But, you know, in a lot of head-to-head matchups, like, he has the potential to average 7.5 or 8 assists a game if they truly turn over the point guard reins to him instead of Austin Rivers. And so if he goes there and you need him for like to help you win the rest of your week, help you get, I don't know, he'd get you 15 assists in 2 games or something. There's not a lot of guys on the waiver wire that can do that. I would just caution him to say that's probably all he's going to help you with.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep. Other kind of off the court news from Wednesday, Jahlil Okafor was suspended 2 games, from his, I don't even know what the suspension was for, Tyler. Do you?
Yeah,
I know he's had several incidents. I know that the second TMZ video was released showing his altercation in Boston, but is there any word like what the suspension is actually for?
The word I got was he told Brett Brown basically about the incident, and it was kind of like the Johnny Manziel thing, if you followed that. He told Brett Brown about the incident, which was basically what you saw in the first video. He didn't tell him about what happened in the second video, so they kind of felt like he lied to him a little bit, and then they suspended him for 2 games.
So what happened in the second video?
He like confronted a guy in the street, and like he basically told them, I guess, that like those people were coming at him and like he couldn't like walk away from it. And in this one, it kind of showed him like going after some other guy as opposed to like just being able to walk away. So.
Interesting. Well, so he's be out 2 games. As you mentioned, they played on Wednesday night. I'm trying to see here. Who did
they put,
who got his minutes?
Yeah. Well, this was a really big blowout. I mean, Philly won the fourth quarter 29-18, and they still lost by 12 points. Jeremy Grant also fell and got hurt in this game. And so he went back to the locker room after, I think in the third quarter that was. So I was trying not to read too much into this box score at all. Yeah. Rashawn Holmes played, though. I mean, he got 18 minutes, which he hadn't played in the last couple of games.
That's exciting. I like that guy.
He's a big blocks guy. The guy can get a lot of blocks in a hurry.
Yeah, he can kind of fill up the stat sheets, I think, and it's good to see him
in 18 minutes.
He's actually a guy, again, you know, we don't talk a lot of daily fantasy here, but if you need a guy one game fill in, like while Okafor is out, either in daily or if you want to just stream a guy in, I think you could do a lot worse than picking up Holmes. Particularly for blocks.
They started Jakarr Sampson tonight in Nerlens Noel, so that was interesting.
Yeah, very few of their players got enough playing time to, like you said, it was such a blowout. Nobody, Nerlens Noel played over 30 minutes. Isaiah Cannon played over 30 minutes. TJ McConnell, man, he took 2 free throws.
Oh, man, I missed this game tonight.
We buried the lead.
I was too busy watching the Lakers. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, our friend TJ McConnell took 2 free throws.
Oh, man, I can't wait to look on NBA stats to see how he got see how he got fouled.
He made one of them. I think that's his first made free throw.
That was. He missed the first one. It was not close.
We should have been.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it.
Go on the NBA stats tomorrow and watch his first free throw.
I'll be able to watch all 3 now. This will be exciting. Yeah, they basically just played a 10-11 man rotation tonight. Everybody got some playing time. I think the only guy that really gets extra value here who doesn't traditionally have value is Holmes. And again, that's probably just if you need blocks in their next matchup. Or if you need a cheap daily option, or if you want to challenge your buddy to like a no tie halftime challenge where you're playing quote unquote terrible players and you can throw Holmes in there and he has to play like Austin Rivers or Phil Pressey or someone like that.
Phil Pressey's a candidate for the two very bad players, no halftime challenge. Just throwing that out there. I've seen a lot of Sixers games.
Julius Randle had sort of a surprising game tonight. Put up a line we don't traditionally see from him. He had 15 points, 19 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. He still didn't shoot over 50%, which is a little concerning. Shot 7 of 15. My general advice has been to stay away from Randle. I don't think he gives you enough production in any of the categories except for maybe rebounding, but you know, if he's going to get 19 rebounds and 2 steals or anything close to that, he's going to be sort of productive. So would you give a different piece of advice than what I've been giving based off this game?
I don't think I would, but I'm going to ask you a question quick. Have you ever watched a Lakers game? Like, have you watched a game this season when he's played?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did you notice he fights Roy Hibbert for rebounds? Like, they can be the only 2 dudes in the paint, and he will try to wrestle the ball away from Roy Hibbert just to get the rebound.
He's all about the rebounds, huh? Well, Roy Hibbert got 3 rebounds, so.
And he stole, like, 4 from Roy Hibbert tonight. It happens every game. He steals, like, 3 or 4 rebounds, like, right out of his hands. Like, Roy
Hibbert, I have not noticed this. I'm excited. Like, no, you've given me something to watch for in the next Laker game. Does Roy Hibbert take it well? Like, is he okay with it?
I think that's maybe why he gets so mad and tries to fight people. He's mad that Julius Randle stealing all his rebounds. Julius Randle is a guy who it seems like if he gets hot, he makes a couple shots that he keeps shooting. I mean, he's got the Kobe in him. So, I mean, if he can make a few at the beginning, he has the potential to have a big game. Like, he's a guy in a tournament in daily. Like, I could see playing, like, if his salary's cheap and just hope for a ton of boards and points.
Yeah, the thing is, the scoring, it's just hard to roster a power forward who's shooting below 45% and scoring only 12 points a game, who isn't getting you over a steal or over a block a game. The rebounds are nice. Like, I feel like I'm giving the same advice about a lot of different guys here, but he it feels is. Like it's one of those guys.
A stream guy, yeah. Like,
yeah, he feels like one of those guys that can help you. One category. If you need him at the end of the week, pick him up. If you're hurting on rebounds, or I guess if you're close on rebounds to winning your matchup, and that's all you need, I think he's pretty reliable in that category. But other than that, I don't think. Yeah, he has double digit rebounds in his last 3 games, but the points are low. The field goal percentage is low. There's not any defensive stats. 2 steals tonight was kind of a, I wouldn't say aberration. Like, he's better at steals than he is at blocks. But if you picked him up for a weekend, if he was going to play 2 games, you might expect 1 steal out of him. So It's not like you're going to get a ton there either.
And there's no system mention, really. I mean, he's a very limited player.
He doesn't seem like he fully understands the concept of passing yet. That might be something that, like, when they have a real NBA coach, that he can learn about.
It would be nice.
It would be a good skill to acquire. So I guess what we're saying is, yeah, Julius Randle had a good game. Probably don't do anything about it unless you need a couple of good rebounding games. All right. Tyler, I'm going to let you talk about this next guy here. This is a guy you kind of believe in on the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. So tonight, Phoenix Suns, Markieff Morris was out. He has that knee injury. It's kind of been plaguing him for a while. Devin Booker got 23 minutes for the Suns. He was 3 of 3 from 3-point land. He had 18 points. I feel like this guy is an underrated guy. Like, if you're in a dynasty league and you're looking for someone young that people are sleeping on to acquire, this is the guy I want. This guy is a silky smooth shooter, and I feel like he has the potential to be like kind of like a Klay Thompson, maybe a little Klay Thompson light.
I kind of like that comparison for him.
Okay, like he's kind of long. All right, he's a pretty decent defender. I think he's going to keep getting better as a defender too. He's got a great 3-point shot. He's good from the free throw line.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of players. I believe he's 19 years old. I think he might even be like the youngest player in the draft this year.
He's the youngest player in the NBA.
He's the youngest player in the NBA, and he is a professional scorer. Like, he can score, and he can make it look easy. And there's not a lot of 19, 20-year-old players that can do that. So, you know, I think your advice is spot on. The talent is there. I don't think the minutes are going to be there, at least in the short term, to pick him up in any sort of standard league this season. But if you're playing in a dynasty league where you have any sort of capacity to stash him on your bench, I like that suggestion a lot.
All right. He's a guy you're going to have to wait on a little bit. But if he ever gets the minutes, I think he's going to be good.
But isn't that all we're kind of waiting for on him?
I think so. I mean, like, just from, you know, the eye test from watching him, I think that he's really skilled and he's a really good shooter.
Like, we're not waiting on a raw talent to develop. I do think that, he will develop. Like, I think he'll get better and better. But I think if you found out tomorrow that Jeff Hornacek said, Devin Booker is going to be our starting shooting guard and he's going to play 30 minutes a night. Like, I think you'd pick him up, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd be all over him.
Yeah.
So they also say that I heard Hornacek say this before. They think he's the hardest worker on the team, which is saying a lot. 'Cause they got some good players.
Yeah. You wouldn't think you would hear that about a 19-year-old. So good guy to keep in mind. Let's see. The last guy I want to talk about is Nikola Mirotic. You know more about this injury than I do. Why don't you introduce that for us?
In the game today, he played 5 minutes and he got hit in the face. And he went back to the locker room. They tested him and he has a concussion. So now he's in the concussion protocol. So the return time is kind of obviously to be determined. Obviously, that can be short or long term depending on the person. I feel like, he got cut in the face too, which it was kind of nasty. He took an elbow. I think I hold on to him until you hear what's going on with him, but obviously I'm still expecting big things from him when he comes back.
Are you still on the Mirotić bandwagon?
I'm still on. I still think he's going to be good.
I hope so. I am not as confident as I was at the beginning of the season. He certainly has the potential, and that's what I keep telling everybody who asks me about Mirotić is, yeah, you can drop him if you want. There's nobody on the waiver wire that has the potential that Mirotić has. He's going to have a hot streak. So
I feel like he's one of these guys who, like, he's going to just turn it on one of these days. Like, you know, like, just he's struggling, and then he's just going to hit a stretch where he's just going to go off.
I agree. And him going off is a lot different than, you know, Julius Randle going off or something. where he's going to fill up the stat sheet. He's going to get steals and blocks and three-pointers and rebounds and points. He's going to do a ton of things for you. Where, you know, the traditional players on the waiver wire that we were talking about earlier that can do one thing or two, you know, Lance Stevenson going off is like 15 points and 11 assists. Nikola Mirotic going off is a top 20 player. So I think that's the reason to hold on to him if you're looking for a reason to hold on to him, or if you're looking for a reason to pick him up. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Mirotic owners look at this as the last straw and just be like, he's playing like crap. And now he's out, and I don't know how long he's out. I'm going to get rid of him. So
so pick him up. If it happens, pick him up.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I can't blame you if you don't want to deal with him, because who knows when that's going to happen. And there are going to be some ups and downs and some struggles, but I think his ups are going to be worth it. Anything we missed, Tyler, you want to talk about from Wednesday's slate of games?
No, I mean, I feel like that we covered a lot of the big topics.
I think so too. Hey, I wanted to, I got one more thing I want to cover before we end here. And that's to give a little shout out to our sponsor, BetDSI. BetDSI is our online sports book that focuses on the customers and most importantly on ease and speed of payments. BetDSI is also one of the most respected online sports books. They have an A+ sportsbook rating. They offer a wide range of sports, anything from MLB when they're in season, NBA, NFL, international sports, and politics. And I was looking at the lines for Thursday night's game. You and I were talking about this before the podcast started, and you had some opinions on the Indiana-Portland line. Indiana is favored by 2.5 in Portland.
I feel like Portland is a good pick here, okay? Indiana, they just played tonight, all right? It was a late game. It was the second of a back-to-back, all right? They're going to Portland tonight. And I feel like Lillard and McCollum might just run them out of the gym with some good shooting. Paul George might have some heavy legs. And I'm taking the Blazers in that game.
So you get the Blazers, who have probably one of the best home courts, and they're playing against the Pacers, who are on a back-to-back, and you're getting the points.
I feel like I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can get behind that. And the Pacers just, I think their last game, they had their win probability at one point in the game was like 99.5, and they ended up losing the game. So if they have a backbone at all, like any team pride, they're going to come out. They're going to be ticked off and they're going to try to win this game. But Indiana's been playing great. So I can, you know, I get why the line is where it's at. But, you know, I like your reasoning. I think you've convinced me to go the same way. And the best part about this, Tyler, is just by listening to the podcast, you can get a free $10 to bet on the game. Use the promo code HOOPS10. That's HOOPS10. You'll get $10 that you can place. If you agree with Tyler, you can put the $10 on the Pacers or on the Blazers. And if you disagree with Tyler's thinking, you can put it on the Pacers, and then you can rub it in Tyler's face when you win. And just remember, BetDSI and I both want to remind you that gambling, it's just a form of entertainment and should be done responsibly. BetDSI will help you be responsible by providing you an easy way to track your activity and results. And please, if you feel like you have a gambling addiction, please contact Responsible Gambling for assistance. All right, Tyler, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I guess the main takeaways tonight are try to take advantage of Derek Favors if you can. I think that there's some big nights coming from him. If you're in a dynasty league, go look for Devin Booker. And keep an eye out for Nikola Mirotic if he hits the waiver wire. I think his owner, this might be the tipping point for them. And if you can take advantage and put Mirotic on your roster, I think that's probably long-term going to pay dividends. You got any other takeaways for this show?
Nope, I completely agree with all that.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. Tyler, if you want to talk to Tyler on Twitter, you can find him at... What's your Twitter handle, Tyra?
Watsy 4444. So four fours.
And so if you need some advice after the podcast, you can hit Tyler up there. You can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. That's Mark with a C, just like Marc Gasol. And if you like the podcast, please go on iTunes or Stitcher, rate and review of the podcast. Leave us a review. Hit subscribe. Do all those good things. And we'll be back on Friday. Tyler and I will be discussing rest of season rankings, some players moving up, some players moving down. So you can look forward to that. Until then, enjoy some basketball. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.